Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, friends, this is brothers and sisters, this is Song. Actually, this is actually the Jewish answer to the world. The first thing we say, Oda Binu Chai, God is living, God is living, God is living. And then we tell the world, as long as God is living, as long as God is living, Am Yisrael Chai, Israel is living. Because you and I know the truth, as long as there's one God in the world. Israel is eternal, there'll always be Jews in the world, because God has chosen us to carry his torch, his light to the world. Oda Binu Chai, Oda Binu Chai, Oda Binu, Oda Binu, Oda Binu Chai, Koram, Am Yisrael, Chai, Am Yisrael,
and greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're intending to stay alive right now in this most existential of moments. The intent of being configured to toward Chaim and sources of life, toward Chesed, and toward Chaim, toward Rachem, toward mercies. You now tune into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert with a higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio, calls of Soul Talk. This is Soul Talk number 798, Proverbs, teachings to access wisdom and righteousness. Blessed is our eternal creator, Baruch Hashem, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family condition. With the Creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now on November 19, 2023. It's 11:03 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, equals AKA equals USA equals Unified Soul Actualization. The central topic for discussion will be sharing the written and oral Torah traditions regarding King Solomon's Proverbs, one of the most powerful teachings from the Israelite Tanakh, Torah, Prophets, Holy Writings. Our call number, if you want to try to make the program a little bit more organic, is 563-999-3688, 563-999-3688. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Children of Israel, collaborating with the Children of Noah to eliminate hatred, jealousy, and competition from this world, or written Torah traditions from Israel. And I'm kind of nursing some nasal and chest congestion, but hopefully I'll get through today's program with the help of the Almighty. And also, our co-collaborator for almost 13 and a half years, Dennis Ryan, our Rambam activist, student, teacher, advocate, and disseminator of the teachings of the Nesher Gold of the Great Eagle Rambam. Good morning, Dennis. Dennis? Dennis? Hello? For some reason, we have Dennis on. Hold on. Dennis? Dennis? Oh, wow. Dennis, if you can hear me, please call back in. For some reason, you're on hold. Let's see if we have bring you in right now. Dennis?
Hello.
Hi. Little snafu on my part. There used to be something we called Murphy's Law. It's done. If something can go wrong, it definitely will go wrong, but that's also from the Most High. Excuse me, sir. As I cough, am I greeting you? How are you doing today?
Okay, and I liked your opening song where you said, God is alive. Well, God is an entity. us humans, we need sleep. God does not sleep.
Right. I just want to mention that that wasn't me singing. That was Shlomo Carbach, who was one of the great Jewish singers of our time. And, yeah, so I just want to point out that we continue to, excuse me, boy. We continue to broadcast primarily into the West with followers in Jamaica and Israel and Canada, even into Russia. Excuse me. And we hope that our audience will continue to grow, because there's just a lot of things to talk about, blessed souls, because this time of conflict that we find ourselves in is very, very... it's very, very painful to see what's going on in the world. And not just a matter of the contentiousness and the fighting and the loss of life in Israel or in the Gaza Strip, but it's also still, people forgot there's still something raging on in the Ukraine, which is also not a good thing. And we have to understand that you know, a preparation for the coming of the Messiah, which we of Israel believe with all of our heart and soul, and our eyes are pining for the revelation of the Mashiach, is that there must be a cessation of hatred, jealousy, and unnecessary competition. The only competition left, basically, in the times of the days of Mashiach, the days of the Messiah, is for self-improvement, to compete against oneself. With that being said, Dennis, any take on these matters? That, you know, first of all, we acknowledge that God is a living God, and that it is incumbent upon all human beings to start realizing if God is a living God, what are we doing to affirm that blessing of life that's been bestowed upon us?
The blessing of life will continue into the hereafter if you do a good job while you're here on earth, because heaven is the place where all the bliss and conflict disappears. However, on earth, with all the humans, we're always going to have some conflict. We cannot be at peace with each. If it isn't one thing, it's another, and it doesn't stop. The only thing I don't like is what people sometimes forget is that Maimonides always warned us, do not give any human attributes to God. God is an entity unto himself. Our problems on earth are our problems. They are not his. And he's wondering how we're going to handle them. We must be able to work out our conflicts. But even today, we have what is known as Tempus Dei. That is God's time. God's time comes from Scripture where everybody understood many, many moons ago that there were 7 days in a week and one day should be devoted to God. Yet we have had Catholics and Jews argue for millennium, should it be Saturday or Sunday? We can't even agree on what day we should devote to praising and loving God. But that's okay. We can live with that because that's adjustable. But what is not adjustable is what we do on Sundays. It looks like we do nothing but sports. And there is no answer to sports. Nobody is controlling sports, but we're inventing it all the time. Does this replace religion? Are we a little crazy? Are we going overboard with our TVs and corporations, where they're pushing sports, where there is no head of sport, there's only allegiance to a flag? So everybody's running around with a new flag all over the place. No, you must be able to stay away from those things that mankind has set up to make you noticeable. A flag doesn't cut it, even though some people feel proud about it. God still needs attention, loving, and reestablishment of those principles that will help us get into heaven. We need that. Without that, we're just wandering around. And conflict after conflict after conflict. Are we waiting for another big war? Who knows?
Well, I think was it Einstein who said that if there's a World War III and nuclear weapons are used, I'm paraphrasing him, then the World War IV would be with sticks and stones. So we really don't want to see that type of outcome. We don't want to go in that direction. But a lot of people are shaking their verbal sabers, taking them out of their sheaths, and creating a tremendous amount of disturbance, Dennis, in the creation. But on another perspective, if we go to worldometers.info/world population, we see that today that the ratio of births to deaths is more than 2-to-1 again. Again, this is an active calendar. To me, it's amazing how they can track this stuff. But so far today, there's been under 78,000 deaths, and there's been more than 171 births. And so far in 2020, there's been 118 million plus new human beings that brought into the world, and 53 million people went to the next level of life, which means that population growth has grown 64,000, almost 65,000 human beings, all blessed and never to be dismissed, never to be disappointed. They've been anointed with the Tzelem Elokim, which we're going to talk about hopefully later in today's program. Dennis, we want to turn now, excuse me for the coughing, a brief teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and excuse me for my coughing, about memory and imagination and how we can transport ourselves to the past, not to deny the future, but to re-energize ourselves. And I just want to preface with saying my father, of blessed memory, when he lived in Mahwah, New Jersey, was part of a social club where they would have writing exercises, where he would write about his memoirs from his youth. And I remember reading some of those memoirs. So when he was in his late 70s, he wrote about an experience of going to Coney Island Beach from where his parents, he lived at the Belvedere building, which is on the corner of Ocean Avenue by, I think it's Park Slope South or Prospect Park South. And he mentioned to me once that after he would write, he would actually feel younger. So Rebbe is advocating that we consider the following flow of thought. Here we go. And this is a letter that was written by the Rebbe on his birthday in 1953, his 51st birthday, and please forgive everyone for coughing so much. Memory and imagination is the ability to associate oneself with an event in the past, and in so doing to relive or experience those feelings and mental states which were experienced at the time of the event, for only physically is the human being bound and fettered by time and space. Mentally, there are no spatial or temporal barriers, and the greater the supremacy of the spiritual forces over the physical, the closer one can associate oneself with a past event and more fully experience its message and inspiration. On the efficacy of remembrance, our sages stated in commenting on the verse, and there is and I'll bring out hopefully a universal instruction for this, in the book of Esther, chapter 9, verse 28, and these days shall be remembered and done, that no sooner are those days remembered than their cause is done on high. In other words, the same divine influences and benevolences that brought about those miraculous events of old are stirred up again by the process of recollection and remembrances. And that is one of the reasons why we've been enjoined to remember the liberation from Egypt in every generation. Every day it is, moreover, more incumbent upon the Jew to visualize himself as he personally had been liberated on that day from Egypt, ransomed and freed completely. For every day, the Jew must practice going out of Egypt to escape from the material and physical distractions, obstacles, and limitations imposed upon his spiritual self by the physical body and animalistic tendencies. In other words, blessed souls, while there was a physical going out of Egypt, although some will deny it because they don't they don't buy into the narrative of the Torah, of the Bible's explanation of what happened when the 12 tribes of Israel left Egypt. At the same time, too, as an existential thought for each one of us, whether it be Jew or of the children of Noah or Gentile, whatever you want to call the individual, that's your choice, is that we can go one inch, one molecule, one foot, one meter, one half a yard beyond our normal, regular, accustomed practices, whether it be thinking about the Creator, we can get a little more, you know, innovative, learn more scripture or learn more wisdoms of the wonders of the human body to realize that, yes, it's been sung, it was sung before by the Police many years ago, we are spirits in the material world, but what's the purpose of our spirit in the material world? To see through the garments of concealment that the Almighty and the Almighty's most pristine wisdom, which is way above any human wisdom, is that there's kind of a seek and find, or search out and find and discover and internalize that whatever is going on in this world right now, it's ultimately directed in the future of the human family condition that we should live as one and live peacefully. And there's more and more evidence showing that that there is the ability for all 8 billion plus people, and you know, 10 years from now, 15 billion, or 30 years from now, 20 billion people, whatever it may be, that we can get through, but we have to activate that memory and imagination of some sort of past event which was significant in one's life, which is a moment where one felt one's achieved one's something that one hadn't achieved before, or going out of one's limitations from a seminal point in one's past or one's national history or cultural history or religious history, and to realize it's upon us to use our minds concerning these matters. Dennis, your take on these matters.
Well, I think of all the Brahmins of the world, and that goes back way, way, way in time when the original scriptures were written. And there's one adage that always rings true to humans, and that is, reap what you sow. In other words, you have it in your mind, in your world, to do better. But you must remember what you planted is going to grow. But yet, we do have memory, and we should rejoice in all the positive things we have accomplished. Any good thing we've done is worth repeating. However, the other half is that if you made any mistakes, can you correct them? Are you thinking about the corrections that you should have done, and you'll work hard to eliminate them so that you don't have to correct in the future? But if you have good thoughts and positive thoughts, nothing wrong with that. You're talking about on your way to heaven in some way, shape, or form. And that's because you've done something good in the past, and you should remember those good things count everywhere. But at the same time, all humans have another side of those good things, and they make mistakes. They may be intentional, unintentional, but we all make mistakes. And those mistakes, conflicts. And those conflicts must be resolved, or else you'll reap what you sow. So therefore, we must use our memories to correct the future. Even though we don't know what the future is, we want to stay away from those things that create conflict that we have a hard time resolving. So put your faith in God, remember the good things, and correct all those mistakes you made.
Amen. Thank you, Dennis. Now, before we get to Proverbs, I know there's a lot of talk about prophecies and the time we're living in. I'd like to go back to a very famous prophecy, which we're not going to cover all of today, because it's a very long chapter in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. But I'd like to just share with everyone this prophecy and some oral Torah traditions. We'll have Dennis, of course, to springboard and feedback and comments, concerns, and questions. Because things seem to be concealed at the same time. At times, things seem to be being revealed. On the one hand, again, there's a lot of dismay in the world. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of trepidations. But at the same time, there's a lot of hope. And actually, it's been observed. I know the Jews living in Israel now have had a surge of renewed spirituality and starting to take on precepts that otherwise, if there wasn't a war, they probably would not have engaged in. We're talking about the mitzvah of tefillin, of mezuzot, of keeping the Shabbos, of eating kosher. So it's happening right now. And with that, also, there is the trust in God that we can get over these dark, cloudy times that we're in. But going back a couple thousand years, we're going to see there's nothing new under the sun. And in this prophecies of Daniel, there's some axiomatic teachings which help us understand, you know, who do we turn to aside from God, which ultimately he's the ultimate entity or the super being that we turn to. But we turn to the prophets and we turn to the teachings that they because they're basically loudspeakers. They didn't come with their own agenda. True and authentic prophets, whether amongst the children of Israel and the prophets that came before the children of Israel and the prophets of the nations of the world to this day, or the social visionaries. I'm not talking about social engineers, but those who have visions of a better society. We're talking about Martin Luther King. I'm sure Dennis will come up with some other examples when I turn to him for his feedback. But let's go now into chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel exclaimed, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." So this whole idea of that the Creator may be blessed forever and ever, what is going on here, blessed souls, is not that God needs Daniel's blessing or the prophet must bless the Creator otherwise. Of course, what does blessing mean? Blessing means that the name of the Almighty, with the attributes embedded within it, will always be forever revealed in this world. And the wisdom and the might of men, or women for that matter, are basically God's. Dennis mentioned before something about, you know, human attributes and godly attributes. The human equivalent of these godly attributes are merely earthly forms taken by these, or being receptacles for godly emanations after going through an extensive transformations in hidden ways understood only by the Creator himself. I mean, Dennis and I know each other about, since I think around 2010. We never thought our paths would cross, and yet our paths are crossed and inextricably tied together for the past 13 years in doing our broadcasts, as if we always knew each other. But in the final analysis, whatever wisdom and might are possessed by human beings is really God's wisdom and God's might. And here the wisdom that Daniel is talking about, because we're going to see that he'll talk about a dream that Nebuchadnezzar, who was the leader of Babylon, had, and Daniel was thankful that the Almighty revealed to him the wisdom of how to interpret. And this is what's very important. We'll let Dennis take it away. What is the might of the Creator? What is the ultimate might of the Creator we can advocate based on this explanation by Ibn Yahya, one of a big Torah scholar? Because the Almighty will show in the end of days when he will uplift the downtrodden as revealed in the king's dream. So this is the ultimate goal, that those who are downtrodden will be uplifted. So what I would like to suggest is that when we see the upliftment of one person experiencing some sort of elevation in consciousness, fear of heaven, love of the Creator, this is a sign that the Almighty is preparing that person, and hopefully that person will testify to others, that yes, I was downtrodden and now I've been lifted up. Therefore, you can be uplifted if you were downtrodden. And let this spread like a domino effect around the earth, that no longer will anyone feel downtrodden, because the Almighty is going to reveal this type of might, that no longer will the human family condition suffer. Dennis, your take on these matters.
Unfortunately, Don, humans must suffer. Why? Because they don't follow the path to heaven that was designed, as in Scripture, as in what God tried to show us. God is always there. He's always unforgiving, and he's always going to help you. However, there's conflict. Any conflict should be decided by contemplating what God would do, what he wants us to do. How do we get around the confrontations and the arguments and everything else that bothers humans? Because there is an underwriting factor here, and that is thou shalt not kill. That means no matter what argument you have, you don't kill somebody because of an argument. yet we are willing to accept killing as though it's a natural outcome of human beings. That is not true at all. What happened was we must approach the conflict and resolve it. We may not resolve it 100%, but if we're not trying to undo our turmoil in the conflict, then we're only increasing the conflict. A case in point that happened quite recently, there was a letter written by Osama bin Laden. Now, we all know he embraces all people of the world. Sure he does. However, he said, there's always going to be conflict. Yeah. Now, some young people, Generation X, or Z, as they call them, is that they thought, oh, wow, this sounds good. He's predicting the future. But he's not predicting the future as God described it. He's predicting what he sees as the future. But then some of these people who are not old enough to understand, you're going to get right back to conflict again. Why would you want to undo conflict and set it up so you only begin the cycle or the process all over again? Humans keep repeating the same mistake over and over and over. History is full of it. Conflict. Kill. Oh, that's good. But here you are saying how many people died and how many people came newborns into the world. Well, God bless every newborn, and may they stay away from any sort of conflict. But there are other people that think their argument is worth living and dying for. No. If you're not living for God, then your life doesn't mean that much. Putting yourself down when you should be honoring yourself, praising yourself as to what you do on a positive side. Having arguments and saying, I won the argument, is not a good yardstick for anything. But yet we humans think that my opinion, my idea is overpowering and I should enforce it on my neighbor. Why? Your neighbor had their own opinion and their own ideas. Can't we all live together? Must we kill in between? Killing doesn't prove anything. It just changes the statistics of those people who didn't live long enough to see the end of the world, because God is going to make us better and better and better. We believe that a lot of our conflicts will disappear as we get closer to the end of the world, because that's a positive sign that God is going to bring us to heaven. And that's what we're here for. It's a test. If you can't handle a conflict, if you can't handle an argument, is killing the answer? We believe so. But we do it as we treat it sometimes today as a positive thing. It's part of our nation, part of our country. My flag demands that I work hard for my country at the expense of your neighbor. So that means that you cannot have neighbors because you need conflict. If you need conflict, when and after you get rid of all those neighbors you don't like, when will you go ahead with your friends and start conflict? Can conflict stop? Do we want it to stop? Or, as Maya Mati said, we can't control our emotions, our feelings, and our thoughts. We must kill. Why? Does it prove anything? No. If you're not emphasizing the positive, the negative takes over your main thinking. So if you remember all the bad things, all the worst things that could possibly happen, you reap what you said. You're willing to accept it into your mind and repeat it all over again? Why can't you think positive? All the good things, all the things that we were taught to believe in, they don't disappear because the calendar changes. You don't. Do you want to? No, think positive, and you will have positive results. Hello, Don. Hello, Don. Gone.
People are out to get you, that they're all wanting to get a piece of the action and beat you to an end point. That you really don't think about. But conflict is something that humans sometimes enjoy. They think it's part of life. It isn't. We should be thinking about God, positive thoughts, and how are we going to get entry into heaven. That is 10 times more important than picking a fight and wondering if you're going to win or lose. Who cares? You do? Well, that means that that's the most important thing to your mind. Well, God is always present. God is always there. God wants resolution to everything.
Right.
If you can't handle resolution to everything, maybe you really don't want to go to heaven. You'd rather stay here on earth and enjoy the conflict. You can't go about life like that. There's too many good things that you can do, enjoy, and be happy with. You must try them. If you haven't tried them, then that means you're willing to accept any type of argument, disagreement, and it could result in the killing of somebody. Is that the way you want to resolve an argument in any way, shape, or form? We should all love each other. We are all made by the same creator. Why in God's name, and I don't want to bring his name into it, are we willing to accept killing? When in effect, it goes back to the tablets that were brought down from the mountain and written with God's finger. Thou shalt not kill. Very simple. Now, we do kill animals. Because we need sometimes the sustenance that the animals have. But other than that, we just don't go around killing animals. But it's okay if they're humans, because that's all part of the conflict, and it gets buried deep in all the arguments. He said, she said, I said, they said.
Yep.
Which is more important? What you said or what he said? Who cares? It's what God says that's important. God is the resolution to conflict. There is no other resolution. But the devil is very happy to have conflict going on, because that means you don't think about anything positive and you keep digging into the negativity. It doesn't end. you never get satisfied for a resolution of conflict. Why is that? You don't have enough faith in God. God can resolve anything. And that's what we're all here for, to get to heaven. And that's where it's peaceful, no conflict. The closer you get to God, the better off you'll be. The further you stay away, the conflict grows. Your choice.
Sure. Thank you, Des. Now, at least we have you on the broadcast. Now something's happened with my computer. I don't know if this is something which is, I've lost my screen, which makes things a little bit more difficult because I don't even have a bearing of how much time we have left in the program. It's approximately probably another 12 minutes, but today is a very strange broadcast. I guess it's one of the tests that we have to go through. So anyway, we'll just go a little further. In the prophecy of Daniel, verse 22, again it goes, it reveals the deep and the mysterious. I'm sorry, let me go back to verse 21, because we saw verse 20. He alters times and seasons, deposes kings and establishing kings, gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who know how to reason. So the beginning of this, according from an explanation called the Metsudos, it mentioned that the fact that the Almighty alters times and seasons, Daniel is crediting the Almighty as having the attribute of omnipotence, and that there's a set time for the reigns of certain types of monarchies or governments, and there's the fall of them. At the same time, too, there is the idea of giving wisdom, and giving wisdom to the wise, and knowledge to those who know how to reason. So, wisdom is also known as chokhmah, and the ultimate wisdom is the mental capacity to distinguish between good and bad, and wise and foolish. And this functions not based on purely rational and logical considerations, but rather upon the laws, there are natural laws and rules established by the Creator, that His creation may be governed by them. Not to murder, that's a wisdom. That's an instruction, that's a rule, that's a law. And therefore wisdom is primarily revealed through prophecy. Now, today, no one really is claiming to be a prophet as much as we take the teachings from the scripture which people have been identified as bona fide prophets like Isaiah, or in this case Daniel, and we are trying to extract out something which is kind of like a tip of the iceberg type of consciousness. And wisdom on another level is the ability to absorb and comprehend a transmitted wisdom from previous time and then integrate it into our life. So a wise person, not just someone who's an intellectual egghead, but rather someone who can know how to implement something very profound and then to explain it to other people, that's the understanding of the person. Your take on these matters, Dennis?
Well, I like Daniel and everything that he wrote. Because why? It's very easy to understand and it's direct. However, we must understand, God has given wisdom to all of us. Some of us don't use it. You reap what you sow. If you don't use some of your wisdom, then why did God give it to you in the first place?
Right.
It's there. You must use some of it. Trust yourself. Believe in God. Trust yourself. If you believe in God enough, some of that wisdom will come into your being. It's there. You must activate it. We all have sense and sensibilities. Those things are natural, and we must be able to use them, good and bad. We should have been told when we were young, what is the difference? How can we tell the difference? Can we smell it? Do we know it? Can we see it? No, it's in our mind. It's not in our eyes. It's not in our mouth. It's not in our ears or throat. You must believe that you have the capability to understand, and that understanding relies in the fact that God is the center of everything. Your conflict pushes a lot of that thinking and understanding out of your mind. The more you emphasize the conflict, the less you understand about blessings. So we must trust, believe in God. That's why we are here. That's one of our purposes. But you have the capability in your mind because he put it between everybody's ears. If you don't use it, you lose it. You reap what you sow. If you think about it long enough, you will come up with some answers. Those answers rely in your association with God. Without God, we are nothing.
Beautiful, Dennis. Okay, so now we're going to move on to, it looks like I'm hopefully getting back into my computer, and I don't even know if we're even broadcasting at this point. I mean, we're having our conversation, but it's
you have 12 minutes, Don.
Okay, so I have to go back into Blog Talk Radio. Let's just see if we can get back into it. Let's see if it's still working. Let's just see here. Let's go back into the studio. Let's see what the studio is recording. Well, it's still saying we have a live program. Okay. So we have 11 minutes to go. We'll go down to Proverbs, and we'll see what happened. This was, I think that we were going so deeply into things, Dennis, that we've been tested that we might have to repeat a lot of what we said today, but that's okay. You know, we don't...
I stand by the words I've already said.
Okay. But we might have to repeat them because we want them to be recorded, to be archived. Anyway, so in chapter 2, verse 21... The King Solomon writes in his prophetic insights, "For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain therein." Now, there's no commentaries here. We'll just actually, well, it says, "The upright shall dwell in the land." Rashi brings down in the world to come. And that's a time when there will be no more war. There will be no more hatred. There will be no jealousy. Everything should be in abundance. We're not talking about a dystopian world. We're talking about a utopian world. Unfortunately, many people, Dennis, are more convinced that we're heading toward dystopia as opposed to utopia. But I hate to use the word utopia, I'll be honest with you, Dennis, because really, in the beginning, it wasn't a utopia with Adam and Eve before the first mistake they made, or the sin is the original sin. It's just that's what the conditions of what it was like to live on Earth, that there was bounty and there was the ability to bless the Creator and to serve the Creator, and to work the Garden of Eden. And then there was the fall. So we're basically 5,000+ years since that original event. And people are trying to figure, we're not going to move into an eternal mode.
But that's the question, Don. Have we learned anything after 5,000 years?
Well, some I think we have, because I was just watching a presentation last night. I think it was by Jordan Peterson, the psychologist, and he was saying that over 100 years ago, a child who was born with a certain type of condition had a very, very low rate of survival, practically zero, in certain types of conditions. And I just thought that before on the world census taker, that now it's been increased to certain conditions, 26% recovery rate or healing rate. So there is something going. Something has improved. I mean, you know, with the advent of cyberspace, you know, people can't get away with things that they used to get away with. I cannot project out. I cannot predict. But you know, like what Mao Zedong did in China, what Hitler did in Germany, what the Japanese did to the Chinese. I don't see that happening again on a mass scale because media coverage is so much that their accountability in terms of human being to human being, nation to nation, there's a lot more accountability. We might not agree with how standards of accountability are measured, but there is, so that is an improvement where people are starting to realize this planet better get itself together in terms of the human interaction, because again, we don't want to see what Einstein talked about World War III and World War IV being fought with sticks and stones, and an extremely dystopian type of perception. You take on these matters.
Well, if you don't like your neighbor, is that an excuse to kill him?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want neighbors. You must live with other people. God created created all worlds on earth, and he created a lot of people, flora and fauna, and we must live with that.
Right.
It's not a choice. But when you have wisdom, you can figure out something. Do you really need this? Or is it something you can push away and concentrate on positive ideas rather than think of all the negativity that you can? And some people are not happy unless they're arguing. Well, can they find happiness if they want to argue all the time? We've met those people. They've come and gone. And the world keeps turning. And most of us still believe in God and think positively.
Amen. So going forward, last verse of chapter 3, again, I apologize for the coughing fits, but the chapter 2, verse 22 in Proverbs, Mishlei, but the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be uprooted therein. So who are the wicked? I mean, we're not going to point on any one people or faith, or, but it's a mentality, Dennis, that from our tradition is that a wicked mentality is a person who believes whatever started at point A will lead to B, C, D, and E, and F until Z. So it's very deterministic. Something's been set in motion, so therefore it can't change. What we see time after time, if we look very carefully into our lives are not that deterministic. Actually, we have a lot of quantum experiences where, again, like I never thought of this on November 19, 2023, I'd be having this discussion with you where I say like 40 years ago, I didn't even know I would be living in Brooklyn. So my life is not, I guess I'll be looking forward to your input. I don't consider my life just as a cause and effect continuum the way I thought the cause and effect is. There's a different divine cause and effect, which can actually bring us to places we never thought we'd go to. And I'm thankful for the places I've been to and where I am right now, even just talking with you. Because
well, you only got there because you don't judge people. And if you don't judge people, you can find out where the positive things are. But there's a lot of people who believe they must apply the judgment. Why? Who cares about your judgment? We were originally taught there's only one judge, and that is God. And everything relies on God. We don't care what your thoughts are. So, God's judgment is forever.
Amen.
So that's what we live for. But there are some people who think that they were put in place to make judgments. Because you have an argument, that doesn't mean you have to kill to win the argument. No. You're judging the other person. Why are you judging the other person? Because they don't agree with you? Since when is agreement part of the judgment? You agree in totality. You may argue about the little picadillos along the way, but if an apple or a potato or something has a bad or rotten spot on it, you don't know I'm going to eat that, but you're not performing a judgment. Nature has already done its thing. You have the choice of taking a bite of the bad part or the fruit or the plant or whatever you want. The same thing goes with people. There's going to be nice people. There's going to be disagreeable people.
Right.
We don't kill them because you're judging whether they should live or not. So who appointed you as a judge? Your ego? Is it under control? You have family members you argue with all the time.
Right.
Does that mean you're going to kill your mother or father?
God forbid.
There are people that do that. They can't stand being disagreed with. So they result to the worst condition possible. And they believe it brings finality. Baloney. Finality is when God judges you and you're ready to enter heaven. Can he forgive you is the question. We don't know that till we meet our Maker.
Amen. So Dennis, we're just going to wind up. We're not even going to the explanation. We're just wondering for one more verse from King Solomon. Hopefully we'll pick up for next week, and hopefully you'll hear in the archive version that most of our content was recorded for our ongoing international audience. It is chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my instruction. May your heart keep my commandments. So we'll go more into that next week. In the meantime, blessed souls, I want to wish everyone a peaceful and pleasant week in a way of Ahava Chad, one love, Goral Chad, one death, Kulano for all of us in a pleasant and peaceful way. And just remember, when we see the manifestation of 8 billion people, doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what your gender is, it doesn't matter what your sex assigned from birth, what male or female, the main thing is try in the most existential moment, right now, to remove hatred from your heart, jealousy from your heart. Don't compete against anyone. Compete against yourself. Make yourself a better person. And we shouldn't be surprised when we find ourselves smack in the middle, the days of Messiah, where there'll be plenty. And as we mentioned before earlier in the program, the might of the creed, the uplifting of the downtrodden will be evident to all. So we're going to end off and say this segues distinctly one day by the Maccabees, and who read it a song by Matisyahu, and let's hope that things will get better and better. And by this time next week, we'll be celebrating universal redemption, and not universal suffering and the downtrodden continue in their harrowing, you know, their unfortunate plight. Take care, everyone. My treasure.